Today's Shir Masechet Anita Daf Nun Beis, and we will begin on Daf Nun Aleph from Beis at the bottom of the Amid, the last Mishnah Kol Haton. Actually, this is the last Mishnah in the series of Mishnayos that we've been learning about situations where there's one circumstance that certainly has one characteristic that brings another characteristic, but not necessarily the other way around as well. And says the Mishnah Kol Haton Baruch L'Achrov, any situation where a bracha achrona must be made, tam bracha lefanav, we need to make a bracha rishayna, bracha before what we're about to do. V'yesha tam bracha lefanav, but there are situations where a bracha rishayna is recited, vein tam bracha lacharav, but there is no bracha achrona. Ask the Gemara immediately, l'suyamai, what is the example of such a situation where there is a bracha rishayna and no bracha achrayna? Says the Gemara, lasui yerek. As we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem Masech, the brachas soon, that yerek, there are opinions, vegetables that a bracha is not recited on, either because it's not considered a significant enough food, or because it's not considered a nourishing food, and therefore a bracha rishayna is always recited, but a bracha achrayna is not. Ask the Gemara, or Rav Yitzchak to Mevarach HaYerek. According to Rav Yitzchak, that did make a bracha achrona on vegetables, which is, of course, what we do as well. We make a bracha in the nefashos after we eat vegetables. Lasuyamai. What does that come to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Lasuyamaya. It's come to teach us that on water, a bracha rishayna, shahakal is made, but no bracha achrona. Again, for the same reasoning. Ask the Gemara, or a papa de Mevarach HaMaya, and according to a papa that did make a bracha achrona on water. So obviously that isn't what the Mishnah is referring to. Lasuyamai, what does the Mishnah mean? Answers the Gemara, Lasuyam mitzvahs. We know that a bracha rishayna is made before we do a mitzvah, but not necessarily a bracha achrona. And the model for making a bracha rishayna and not making a bracha achrona, explained the rishaynim, is Birchas HaTorah. That we make a bracha before we learn, but not after we finish learning. Ask the Gemara, Ulabnei Marova, but the people in Eretz Yisrael, Tmevarchi, Basa, the Salika Tfilayu, that they would make a bracha achroina even after they took off the tefillin. The bracha they would make is, Asher Kedishanam Mitzvos V'Tzivanam Lishmar Chukav. So they do make a bracha achroina. What does the Mishnah mean? L'suyamai. Before we go further, there's a fundamental machlokes we're showing him how to understand this Gemara. According to Tosfos, the only mitzvah on which a bracha achrona was made is tefillin. Why? Because the Torah says after the parashat tefillin, v'shmartas achukah azois l'mayadoi miyomim yomima, that tefillin may only be worn by day, not by night. So they used to wear tefillin all day, and when they took off the tefillin in the evening, they would make a bracha achrona. According to Tosfos, 2 points. Number one, it was only by tefillin that they made this bracha, and only if they were taking off tefillin at night before they had to take it off because it became night. If you took off tefillin during the day, as we usually take off tefillin during after shachris, they didn't make a bracha achrona. And therefore, it's obvious what the Gemara's teretz could have been. The Gemara's teretz could have been, yes, tefillin a bracha achrona is recited, but all other mitzvahs, bracha achrona is not recited. And even by tefillin, only if you're taking them off at night. But the Gemara looked for a teretz that is more universal with no exception to the rule. Other Rishayim disagree with Tosfos, and their opinion is that it's not only tefillin that a bracha achrona was recited in Chutz Laretz. Any mitzvah that has an expiration was made a bracha achrona. So according to those Rishayim, tzitzis. Laila loves mat tzitzis. So they made a bracha when they took off the tzitzis as well. Any mitzvah that had expiration. But again, they agree that a mitzvah that doesn't have a time of expiration, then you don't make a bracha. And they also agree that if you're taking off your tzitzis during the day, or your talis during the day after you wore it by shachris, you wouldn't make a bracha. Our minig is not to make the bracha at all, but it's very interesting that the Aruch HaShulchan quotes a minig. We know that we don't wear tefillin on Rosh Chodesh when we daven Musaf. So we take off the tefillin before Musaf. And what's the last tefillah we say before? Uval Tzion. And in Uval Tzion we have the line Ulishmar Chukav. So he quotes a minig that when you say those words on Rosh Chodesh to connect to this Gemara, take off the tefillin from the fingers. To show that Lishma Chukav, that was the bracha of Lishma Chukav, so you're doing it and you're showing that you're connecting to this Gemara. Interesting minig. According to other Rishonim, that they made a bracha after all mitzvahs, only by tefillin did they say Lishma Chukav, but the other mitzvahs, because of the pasuk that I quoted, but the other mitzvahs, they said the bracha that was recited when they finished the mitzvah was Lishma Mitzvaysav. So now the Gemara asks again, Lasuya Mai, what is it coming to teach us? Lasuya Rechni. On Besamim, so we make a Bari Mina Besamim or a Bari Atzi Besamim, depending on whatever the Besamim is, but we don't make a Bracha Achroina. And the Rishonim debate as why don't we make a Bracha Achroina on Besamim. Some Rishonim explain because it's not considered a very significant Hanoah, and therefore a Bracha Rishonim is recited, not a Bracha Achroina. For the same reason, most Paiskim are of the opinion that you don't make a Shechiyonu on Besamim. That we know if you eat a new fruit, you make a Shechiyonu. You don't make a Shechiyonu even though it's a new Besamim that wasn't available and that you didn't enjoy for a year. Another Pshat, that's the Pshat of the Kolbay. The Rekeach says, a Bracha Achroina is only said on something that has a shear. Benching is said after you ate a Kazayas of bread, after a Revius of liquid, you make the Bracha Achroina. There is no shear for the Birchas HaReach. So something that doesn't have a shear doesn't have a din of a bracha achroina. And many other rishonim suggest a very interesting reason. We know the halach is, let's say you ate, and you didn't bench by the time the food is digested, the shear equals 72 minutes typically, you can't bench. What happens is when you smell something, so that hanoah comes and goes immediately. So you can't make a bracha achroina because there's nothing left from that Hanoah. And there's interesting Chazanish. The Chazanish asks, if that's the case, then he asks, why, how did they bench? The Rishami says that they benched when they ate the man. Of course they benched. That's a mitzvah say the Raisa. But the Pasuk says regarding the man that it was Lechem Abirim. A Lechem Abirim means that it got immediately absorbed into the body. So how could you bench if there's nothing left? It's like the Besamim. So the Chazanish actually asked this question when he was younger. When he got older, he said, the definition of Lechem Abirim doesn't mean that it got completely immediately absorbed, completely immediately digested. He says, Lechem Abirim means that it didn't produce any waste, but certainly didn't get digested immediately, and therefore it's like all other food. That's one pshat that they say. Another pshat is, man is in the category of food. And since man is in the category of food, even it itself is not the same, you can make a bracha achroina. Besamim, there's never besamim that has a lingering hanoah, and therefore you never make a bracha on besamim. Interesting question, probably more connected to Masechta Brachos, is we know, as we just said, if somebody ate and he didn't bench after the shear equal 72 minutes, he can't bench anymore. What would be the halacha if he started benching within the shear equal, but then while he's benching already he's past 72 minutes, which, you know, you have people that are the bench that take him an hour to bench. Erlich Yidin, the question could come up. So is pshat that shear equal is to be looked at as a hefsik? If there's a hefsik of more than shear equal, you can't bench. So here you did start benching before this man hefsik is up. Or is pshat you could only bench as long as you're still full. But if you're not full anymore because you finished, because it's past the time, you can no longer bench. The Mefarshim ask that our Gemara says that whenever there's a bracha rishayna, there's certainly a bracha achrayna, but sometimes you can have a bracha rishayna without a bracha achrayna. But you can never have a bracha achrayna without a bracha rishayna. So Mefarshim ask two exceptions that I saw, there are probably more. One is Ashi Yotzar. You say Ashi Yotzar after you use the washroom, but you don't make a bracha before you go into the washroom. So you see you have a bracha achroina without a bracha rishayna. So one teretz is that when a person has to use the washroom, he's not in a state that he can make a bracha. The Chasam Sofer has a very big chiddush. The Chum Sofer says Ashi Yotzer is not to be viewed as an independent bracha. It's connected to your eating. A person eats and he produces waste, and then he has to expel it. So it's just like the bracha achroina of eating, and eating does have a bracha rishoina. Very bechidish the Chum Sofer. But then all the mafarshim, the rishonim, already discussed this question. Pesach by the Seder, by Hallel, we don't make a bracha rishoina, but when we finish saying Hallel at the Seder, we say Yalalucha. We say a bracha. So here we have a situation where we say a bracha achroina without a bracha rishoina. And in fact, the Ramban says that maybe by the Seder you should say a bracha rishoina for that reason, because otherwise how will we explain our Mishnah? But we know that the Minhag HaOlam is not to make a bracha rishoina, only a bracha achroina by the Seder. So the answer, well, the yeshivas, they discussed this answer. Hallel by the Seder is not Hallel. Hallel by the Seder is a Shira. And the bracha, and when Hallel is recited as a Shira, then you don't make a bracha not before nor at the end of Hallel. I would say Yalalucha. Yalalucha is not a bracha on the Hallel. Yalalucha is a bracha on the Kais. That we're about to drink the fourth Kais, and the bracha on the Kais is the bracha of Yalalucha. But the Hallel of the Seder doesn't bring, because it's not a Hallel, because it's a Shira, doesn't bring with it a bracha. And that's the source for the famous minig that most Nusach Sfard shuls follow, that they say Hallel and Shul Pesach by night before they go home for the Seder. Why? Because they realize that the Hallel that they're reciting by the Seder is not your Hallel. It doesn't have a bracha like Hallel does. And the way we explain now doesn't even have a bracha achrayna. You know? And they want to say, so they want to have both types of Hallel recited that night. So in Shul they say the Hallel with a bracha, the traditional Hallel, and then by the Seder, they're saying the Hallel that we just spoke about, which is the Shira. So now the Gemara goes back more to Masechta Nida. It says the Mishnah, Tinoikis Shivya Yishtei Saris. Well, we learned at the beginning of the Perek about the Tinoikis who's 12 years old and brought Shtei Saris. The Halacha is Oicheletzes Oimus Yabemus. She's considered an adult and she could do Chlitzo Yibam. The Rishonim say, we already said this halacha at the beginning of the parak. Why is it repeated? Because the big part of today's shir is to explain these simonim. So first it introduces the concept of simonim, and then the Mishnah Gemara, Be'ezer Hashem, will identify those simonim. Furthermore, as we learned at the beginning of the parak, this is according to Rameya, because according to Rabbanon, a girl who is a ketana could still do yibam. Not chalitza, but could do yibam. And she's obligated in all mitzvahs. I saw a very nice part. The Mishnah wants to teach us that a girl who's an adult is mechayev b'chol mitzvahs. What does it have to say, hamuris b'tayra? Could have said mechayev b'chol mitzvahs. So I saw a beautiful pshat. A child, a boy, a girl, only become mechayev b'mitzvahs when they become barabbas mitzvah. But you know, every child has mitzvahs chinuch. What's the mitzvahs chinuch? From when they could do mitzvahs, they're obligated to do mitzvahs. And we know from the Gemara Masechta Megillah and other places, they're mechuyev mitzvahs b'drabbanan. Wants our Mishnah to teach us, not only boys are mechuyev chinuch, even girls. B'chol mitzvahs hamuras b'toyra. The age for being chayiv in the Raisa is 12 years old when two simonim. But for being chayiv b'mitzvahs d'rabbanan, for chayiv b'chinuch, even by girls, begins before. V'kein tinnik shevish day saris. A tinnik that brings Shtei Saris, it's Chai B'chol Mitzvahs Hamuras B'Torah. And the Mefarshim explain, even though the Gemara is going to discuss what does the Mishnah have to speak about a tinnik as well, but I saw a very nice pshat. We know the halach is, a girl becomes Bas Mitzvah by 12. A boy only becomes Bar Mitzvah by 13. So we would think that since a boy only becomes Bar Mitzvah at 13, maybe he doesn't have to wait for Shtei Saris to become Bar Mitzvah. It teaches us the Mishnah that no, he still needs to wait for the Shtei Saris to be Mechuyev B'mitzvahs. For Royal East Ben Tzara Meir, we learned by Arichas, Masechta Sanhedrin, Perek Ben Tzara Meir, that a boy, once he becomes of age, if he acts inappropriately, he's warned, then he gets Malkus, or would aid him, and if that doesn't work, he's killed. So he only can become a Ben Tzara Meir when he has Shtei Saris, B'shiyav Shtei Saris, at Shiyakov Zokna Tachten V'loy Elyon. Until they hear of that until the area is fully here, because once it's that point, he's no longer considered a ben. He's considered an av,
And an av doesn't have a din of ben tzayr and mayr. Elish dibra chachamim b'losh nekiya. Chazal then called it a zaken. It's a nicer way of expressing it. We learned many times already in the last couple shurim that midaraisa, a father has a right to marry off his daughter. But if a girl is an yusayma, her mother or brother can marry off midrabanan. And the halacha is, as long as she's a ketana, she could do mian, she could annul the marriage. Teaches us the Mishnah, tonight she's David Shtei Saris, once she brought the Shtei Saris, any cholaman, she no longer could do mian. Rav Yehuda says, At Shir Ba Shachar, according to most Rishonim, Machlok is what At Shir Ba Shachar means, that it's noticeably that there's hair. Others say that it means that there are black hairs. Any other color hair will not make her into a gedolah. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate, when Rabbi Yehuda says here that the Shir is At Shir Ba Shachar, does he mean only as far as Hilchis Niyan is concerned? As far as everything else is concerned, he agrees that the Shir is as soon as Yavish Dei Saris. Or does Rabbi Yehuda mean that as far as all areas of Halacha, the girl's age of Gadlus is not Shtei Saris, rather it means At Shir Ba HaShachar. Ask the Gemara, if the Mishnah began with the words that once the girl is 12, which day Saris, she's chay b'chametzes amurus b'tayra, ask the Gemara, why the Mishnah have to add those words? Answers the Gemara lefukim et Rabbi Yossi, because the Mishnah wants to say that we don't agree with Rabbi Yossi. Domer that says that indeed ish kosav parasha, that as far as chalitz is concerned, a man who's not yet a gadol can't do chalitza. Avil isha ben gedoyla ben ketana is a candidate for chalitza. Kamash Mlon tells us the Mishnah that we don't agree with Rabbi Yossi, and therefore Eisi Shtei Saris in, she's a candidate for chalitza. Iloi. My Tama, why indeed do we pass in that way that she has to be a gedoyla to be able to do chalitza? Because isha ki'ish, we equate the woman to the man. Ask the Gemara, v'chim the Tana. If our Mishnah says v'kein atinik shevi beis aris chai b'chol mitzvah samurus chai atinik shevi b'chol beis aris is considered an adult, ask the Gemara chai b'chol mitzvah samurus b'tayr lamali. What does the Mishnah have to continue saying chai b'chol mitzvah? So if he's a godly, he's chai b'chol mitzvah satayr. V'chi tema, and if you'll suggest b'shum de kabay lemisni, because the Mishnah wants to teach us v'roy lius ben tsayr meira, because the Mishnah wants to teach us the halacha of ben tsayr meira. Ask the Gemara, that halacha, Tanina Chad Zimna, has already been taught to us in Masechta Sanhedrin. Because the Mishnah says in Masechta Sanhedrin, on Daf Samaches Omebeis, Ein Mesaihu Ben Tzayr Meir, at what point is a boy able to become a Ben Tzayr Meir, Vishiyav Beis Saris, Ad Shiyakov Zakin Atachtan, V'loya Elyon, El Shadibru Chacham B'losh Nekiya. So why does the Mishnah have to teach us all of these halachas about a boy that we know? Answers the Gemara Nechanami. There really is no need for it to be mentioned. El, the Parash, the Milatanoikis, since the Mishnah mentions all of the halachas about a girl, so that's why, even though they don't necessarily represent a chiddush, come a Farash Nami Milatanoik, the Mishnah also speaks about the halachas of a boy. Tanoikis Shevoya. So we learned in the Mishnah, as we just learned a moment ago, Machlokes Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda. Until what age a girl could do miyun? Tanakama said only up to Shtei Saris. Rabbi Yehuda said At Shir B'Shachar Alavin. Amr Bavu Amr Belaza Halachik Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is follows Rabbi Yehuda. Umayd Rabbi Yehuda. But says Rabbi Bavu, Rabbi Yehuda will agree. Shem Nivla Lacha Shevi Shtei Saris Shuv Eni Chayil Man. Let's say she brought Shtei Saris and then she does a bia. So that bia will be a bia that will transform what was until now only a Kedusha Derabbanan into a Kedusha Deraisa. And for a Kedusha Deraisa, you can no longer do Miyun. So even Rabbi Vua, even Rabbi Yehuda, who takes this more lenient approach, will agree that the first Bia, after she brings Shtei Saris, excludes her from ever being able to do Miyun. 2 points. The Ritva says that that Bia would have to be done by Edom, because a Bia without Edom is never considered a halachic Bia, just like we know by a wedding. Furthermore, the Rishonim explained, Even if Rabbi Yehuda is taking this lenient opinion, and he's saying that Min can be done until she brings Shtei, until it's Yir B'Hashochar al Alavin, once it's Yir B'Hashochar al Alavin, she can't, everybody, he would agree. Why? If there was no Bia, how did it turn into a Kedusha Daraisa, that Bia should be excluded? The Rishonim explained, because since she's so noticeably a Gadol, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that the Chacham don't want a girl who's so mature and such an adult doing Mian, because we could come to make a mistake that even adults could do Mian. Says the Gemara, Chavroi the Rav Kahana, Saval Mevet of the Rabbi Yehuda, the colleagues of Rav Kahana wanted to act according to Rabbi Yehuda and go one step further. Vafagav the Nivala. And they wanted to hold that even if a girl was Nivala, she could still do Mian. So all the Rishonim try to understand what's the thinking. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained, Rishonim discussed this at length, and they say, what is the basis of turning the Kedusha Derabbanan into the Kedusha Deraisa? The basis of turning the Kedusha Derabbanan into the Kedusha Deraisa is that he assumes that when he becomes a Gedayla, so now he has to do a Bia to make it into Kedusha Deraisa. This Shita, this opinion held, people don't think like that. They think I'm married. So I'm married. I don't have, when a regular married person, does he do B every time he does B? He thinks that he's getting married with that B? Of course not. We're already married. This person doesn't think anything different. And therefore, he doesn't do B, L'shem Kedushin. And therefore, the Kedushin, even if she's a Gedoyla, never turns into Kedusha Deraisa. That's how many Rishonim learn. The problem with this Pshat is, he recognized that his Kedusha was only Kedusha Derabbanan. So doesn't he recognize that he has to transform it into Kedusha Deraisa? So they explain a different variation of this Pshat. They assume that a person who's not well learned assumes that the Kedusha matures with the girl. And as she gets older, the Kedusha by itself changes, which isn't true. Nothing happens by itself. And therefore, since he didn't have an intention to make it into Kedusha Deraisa, it remains a Kedusha Derabbanan, and therefore, he should be able to do Miun, even if a Bia was done after she became a Gedoyla. Amar Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana saw that what they wanted to do, and he said, Loi kacha yamaisa. Wasn't there a story? Bita Rav Yishmol, with the daughter of Rav Yishmol, Shabbosel Beis HaMedrash, that came to the Beis HaMedrash, Laman, and wanted to do Biyun, Ubna Murkav al Kseifa, and she was ready with child. She already had a baby. Voisayon, at that time, Husklu Dvarav Shur Vishmal Bevismerish. They remembered what was taught by Rav Yishmol, Ubachsu Vrapsu Bechir Gedoyl Bevismerish. And it was crying because what he said was going to be violated. Ubrapsu Bechir Gedoyl Bevismerish. Amruf, what they said, Davish Amayish Tzadik. This tzaddik taught us something, and now Yikosh Bazaroi, his own children, his own descendants, perhaps will make a mistake. Dom Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Mishmul Rav Yishmol. The pasuk says, "V'hi lain nisbasa asura." The Torah says that if a woman has adulterous relation and she's married to a Yisrael, so if lain nisbasa, she wasn't forced into that relationship. So then she's a surah, her nispasa. If she was forcibly violated, she's muteris, as long as she's married to a Yisrael, not to a kohen. V'yesh lo acheris, and then he continued, that there is a situation of a woman, shabish lo nispasa, that even though she had a marriage and she had a relationship that wasn't by force, still she's muteris. V'yezuzu, who is such a woman? Which means as follows. All Rishonim agree to this Pshat. They agree to the Pshat that let's say somebody married a woman on the basis that she was whatever, that he told her I'm this or that, and then it turns out what he said is not true, so that's a Kedusha Tos. So that means she was never an Eishes Ish. So since she's never an Eishes Ish, so there, Abishah Benoah Murkav al Kseifa, she could do Miyun. That's the Posh Pshat. Other Rishonim, and this is much more connected to our Gemara, say what they thought was that if a girl got married with Kedusha the Rabbanan, as we explained in the Mishnah, that her mother or her brothers marry her off, and therefore, even though she's now an adult with children, and even though it was obviously Bia, after she became adult, she could still do Miyun. The Nemne v'Gamru, but they took a vote, and they said, I had Masay Habas Mamenes, until when could a girl do Miyun? At Shetavi Shtei Saris, partial over of the. You can never do Miyun after she's an adult, for the reasons that we gave. It could come to terrible repercussions, and therefore, they wanted to do Miyun with this girl who already had a baby. Of course, they did not allow her to do Miyun. Interesting question. Here we see that the Gemara teaches us the concept of a Kedusha Tos. As I explained, everybody agrees that in a situation where it was done under false pretenses, the Kedusha is null and void. I saw a very interesting Shaila that Rabbi Yitzchak Silverstein discusses. He says as follows. There was a couple that got married, a boy and a girl. And after they got married, right after they got married, the couple came to visit the girl's parents. And the husband was suffering from all sorts of attacks, mental depression, all sorts of serious situations. And he asked the boy, did you ever experience this before? And he admitted that he did. So he said that this is a Kedusha Tos. Had you notified us that you have this medical condition, we would have never allowed the chasana to happen. Of course, we're machmer, that we give a get. We just don't rely on a Kedusha Tos. The question was a different question. The father of the girl wanted the shatchan, the matchmaker, to give back the shatchanis. He says, this marriage was with a boy that was so not well. So he says a very interesting psak. He says, there are two types of situations with a shatchan. So sometimes the father or the girl asks the shatchan to, could you introduce me to that boy? That's considered, the shatchan then is considered as if he's your worker. And your worker you have to pay even if he doesn't perform. If, however, it was the shatchan's idea on his own initiative, so if he brought you something that was defective, you don't have to pay, you could ask for your money back. So we should never have such childless. Says the Gemara, Rav Yitzchak v'tamid Rav Chanina, Rav Yitzchak and Tamid Rav Chanina of the Rav Yehuda, acted like Rav Yehuda, vavgav, the nivola, that she should be able to do miyun, also Rav Sham bar Abba, amay kamed Rav Yochanan, he reported what happened to Rav Yochanan, also Rav Yochanan amar kamed Rav Yehuda, nesia, Rav Yochanan reported it to Rav Yehuda Nasiya, Shah the Balsha, he sent officers, Vafkua, and they did not allow her to remain with her second husband that she married after the Miyun, because obviously they held that the Miyun was an illegal Miyun. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chizda Amar Ukva, Lo Yishir Ba Shachar Mamish, when we speak about the Shachar, it doesn't mean that you have to have many black hairs, El Kedei Shir B'Shtei Saris, you have these two hairs, shaychvois, the nirois, kimish yocha ashar eleven. As long as it looks like there's hair, that's already considered a situation of yirba shacha. Rav Amar, what is the definition of yirba shacha? Shtei saris hamakifis misaf al safa. They go from one end to the other. Amrav chelba amrav huna. Shtei saris amru. When we speak about shtei saris, Tzorach shei be'ikran ugumais. They have to have pores from where the hair come out. Malchia amar of Adabar Hava, a very bechidish. Gumas, that if the girl has pores, abishain tzaris, even if there are no hairs, we already consider her like she had shtei saris, because we're concerned that there were hairs and they fell out. The Rishonim say that contra Behuda, however, who says that the shir is shiir ba shachar, he's not concerned for Shem and Nashru, and unless you have, in reality, Yirbu HaShachar, it's not considered that she's a Gedola. Says the Gemara, we've had this Gemara many times in Shas. This is the last time. Arav Chanina Bereder of Ika, Shvud. The Gemara Mesechta Beit teaches us that a spit that's used for cooking is Muktzah on Yontif. It's Muktzah Machos Mias. But you're allowed to cook on Yontif. So the halacha is that now you have the spit. You don't want it to sit in the middle of your kitchen. So if you want to move it to the corner, you have to move it with a total kalach yad in an unusual manner. Shvud. Shvachis. Gemara Masechta Ksubis. The Gemara Masechta Ksubis teaches us a Mishnah that what a wife is obligated to do for a husband. And the Mishnah over there teaches us the wealthier the wife, with the more shvachis she brings into the marriage, the less she has to do for her husband. But the Mishnah teaches us that even if she's very wealthy and brings many shvachis, she can't be exempt from doing anything because the tala, doing nothing, is not healthy. It brings to sin, brings to all bad things. The gumas are the halachas that we just learned, that she has pores even without hair. It's considered like she brought shtei saris. Were taught us by Reb Malkiyoy with a vav. Glorious. Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says that the Akum would leave a strand of hair in the front of their face for Avodah Zarah. And the halach is when one gives a haircut, not only may he not leave glorious, but he's not allowed to even cut within three etzpahs of that area. Eifa Mikla, they used to put on ash on a wound, and it looks like a tattoo. And we know that a tattoo is osur. It's ksoivis kaka. The gvina. The halach is that gvinas akum is osur, because they used to coat the cheese with lard, was stated by Reb Malkiyah, with an aleph. Reb Papa says the following. Masnisen umasnisa, anything learnt in a Mishnah or a Braisa, Reb Malkiyah was taught by Reb Malkiyah with an aleph. Shmatza, whatever was taught by Amoraim, Reb Malkiyah with the vav. The Simana, and if you want to remember who taught what, Masnisa Malkasa, the Mishnah, the Braisa, take precedence over what Amoraim said. So anything that was learnt in a Mishnah and a Braisa is with the aleph Malka. Ask the Gemara, what's the difference between Rav Chanina's version and Rav Papa's version? Ikvanai Shvachas. Because Shvachas, as we said, is a Mishnah. And according to Rav Papa, a Mishnah was said by Rav Malkiyah. So therefore, it goes out of the first and goes into the other. Actually, the Mefarshim explain that there's another, perhaps, Nafkamina. Because Efer Mikla, the dinner of the ash, is not a Mishnah or a Braisa, it's Amoraim. And here we have Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. Tosfos says, the Rav Papa doesn't mean the Rav Malkiyah never quotes Amoraim. What it means is the Rav Malkiyah, everything from the Mishnah and the Braisa belongs to Rav Malkiyah. Amoraim could go either way. And therefore, according to Tosfos, Efer Mikla remains with Rav Malkiyah. Other Rishonim say that the distinction is much clearer. Amoraim or Rav Malkiyah would evolve. Mishnah Braisa or Rav Malkiyah with Aleph, and therefore, according to that, Rav Papa would take Efer Mikla away from Rav Malkiyah and give it to Rav Malkiyah. Amr Ravashi, Amalei Mazutra, Koshbar of Chanina Masura. Chanina Masura asked the following question. Suppose Rishonim explained that the Gemara's question is, we just learned a very big Chiddush, that if there are Gumas, even without hair, the girl is considered like she brought Shtei Saris. It's a chiddush that we never learned a Tana to tell us that. Others say what it means is, the question that's meant to be asked is that the Saris have to have gumas. That halacha was never taught. Le'ishtam etan v'ashmin and gumas answers the Gemara, that's not a question. Because yashmin and gumas, have minat sheev yishtei Saris v'shtei gumas. If we would say gumas, we would come to think that you need shtei saris and shtei gumas, and only then is she a gedola. Kamash malon, the fila shtei saris beguma achas is considered a gedola. And therefore, to avoid any confusion, the Tanoim did not speak about the gumas. Ask the Gemara, Omika kai gavna, is it possible to have such a situation that two hairs should come out of one guma from one pore? Viksiv. The pasuk says by Eev. Eev is complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was so punished. And he says, Asha besara yishafuni v'harba pitzichinam. V'amar Rava, Eif besara chirif. What does it mean besara? Besara means a whirlwind. Eif, the Mefarshim explained, complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there's no Ashgacha Pratis. The world is a sara. It's like a storm. A storm doesn't, it damages everything that gets in its way. Here too, there doesn't seem to be any sense of cheshbon, any sense of righteousness. Why am I being punished? And besorei shivua, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him with the sorrow. And the Gemara explains itself. Besorei chirif, amal lefan of ribonei shloilem, shema ruach sa'ara, over lefanecha. Maybe you just had a whirlwind. V'neschalfelcha ben iyoiv le'ayiv. You think my name is Ayev, and I'm your enemy, and you're punishing me? So Mefarshim explained. The Medrash says, why was Eve punished? So the famous Medrash. The Medrash says the Paroi sat to decide what to do with the Jews. And he had two advisors. He had three advisors. Ayev, Yisrael, and Bilam. Yisrael ran away. And that's why his children became members of the Sanhedrin. Bilam gave him the advice. We all know what happened to Bilam. Ayev remained silent. So Ayev thought, I didn't do anything wrong. Because he thought that Machshava Ra and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaref L'Maisa. But that's not true. But he Akum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I didn't act like an Ayev. We know Paro is called Ayev. Oma Ayev Ardif, Ardif, we say every morning in the Shira. So what are you confusing me with Paroi? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said you did do the wrong thing. Because you're not supposed to remain silent when you see something wrong. And Besara Shivua, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond? V'yan Hashem es Iyoyv min Asara. Omele, v'yomelov. And he said to him, Shaita Shiva Oilam. And first explain why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu call him a Shaita? Because somebody who doesn't believe in Ashgachas Paratis is a Shaita. And he says, Habanirim Barasi Barash Shal Adam. I created many strands of hair on a person's head. We'll call Nima Venima Barasi Leguma Fneatzmai. Every strand, every hair has its own pore. Shalayishtaim Yonkas Mekumachas. Two hairs cannot grow out of one pore. Shemolishtaim Yonkas Mekumachas. If that were to happen, Machash Mo'ein of Shal Adam, it would affect his health, his vision. So says Hashem to Ayev, Guma beguma leneschalifli. I'm so careful that these two pores should not get mixed up. Ayev be'ayev neschalifli. It's impossible. But what do we see from here? That two hairs can't come out from one pore. So how would we have made an error that two hairs from one pore are a simon, as we said in Amun Aleph? Answers the Gemara, Loikasha. Ha begufa bereisha. On the hair, as Hashem said to Ayev, each strand of hair has its own pore. On the body, it's different. And we're not talking about the hair, we're not talking about the head now, Gemara, we're talking about the body. Farshim explained, why indeed is the hair on the head different than the hair on the body? Because the hair on the head, what does the head represent? And what does the hair on the head represent? Growth. Because we're supposed to constantly grow in our maturity, in our head, learning more Torah. And therefore, the lesson of growth, of importance, how important the growth should be perfect, is limited to the head. Furthermore, Mefarshim explained, the lesson of this Gemara is the importance of boundaries. Every hair has its own boundaries. And here too, we have to be careful to make boundaries in life and keep within those boundaries. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Shtei Saris Amru, when we speak about Shtei Saris so many times in our Perek and our Masechta, Afila Achas, Akaf Achas Labayim. They don't have to be next to each other, one higher and one lower. Tayanam Yehochi, Shtei Saris Amru, Afila Achas Begav Achas Bekreisa. One in the front and one in the back can combine. Achas Agav Kishriyat Besar Shal Yad, Vachas Agav Kishriyat Shal Regal. Very big machlokes, we show him how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim explain what the Gemara means to say here is that hair on the hands and the feet are also considered Shtei Saris. Others say no. The Shtei Saris have to be Ba'isa Makim, but they could be corresponding to those spots of the body. Dei Rav Shimon Gamliel, Ish Kvar Okar, Shama Mishum Rav Shimon. Rabban Amar Rav Chizda, Shtei Saris mean Ad Shei Shtei Saris B'makim Echad. Tana Abonim, says the Braisa, Ad Masai Abbas Menes, till when can mean be done? Achid shtavi shtei saris, divri remeya, as we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yudaima, at shiyir ba'ashacham. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, at shetokif ha'atarah. Machloikus Rishonim, what does shetokif ha'atarah mean? Some Rishonim say shetokif ha'atarah means even more here around Ois Mokum than Rabbi Yehuda meant. Others say shetokif ha'atarah means the area around the breast that we spoke about earlier in the parak. Ben Shlokus Omer, at shetokalkal, which is even more here. Vam Rav Shimon. Matzani had Chananya ben Chinoi betzidin. Vam Kishta Megiyah Etzor Rekiva. When you come to learn by Rekiva, and Moloi, ask him, Ad Mosai Habas Mememenes, until when could a girl do Mian? Im Yom Veloch. And if he will respond, Ad Shetovi Shtei Saris, until she brings Shtei Saris, Omoloi. So then ask him, Veloi Ben Shlokus, the name of an individual, Hayed, B'mamet Kulchem B'Yavna, did say in front of you in Yavna, Achet Kalkel, V'loi Amartam Lev Dover, and you didn't protest. So says the Gemara, K'shabas Eitzel Rekiva, when I came to Rekiva, and I told him this episode, Omerli, he responded, Kilkel Zeh Eni Yidei Mahu, I don't know what you're talking about, Kilkel, Ben Shlokus Eni Makar, rather, Amasai Abbas Amamenes, just as soon as she brings Shtei Saris. So of course the Mefarshim ask, we're not talking about regular people here. We're not talking about people that say something that's not true. So was Rabbi Akiva there or was Rabbi Akiva not there? Mefarshim explain as follows. When somebody says something in front of another person and the other person doesn't react, there could be two explanations why he doesn't react. One is because Shtiko Hayito, he agrees. One is he doesn't react because he doesn't feel it deserves a reaction. It's so foolish. He thought that the reason Rabbi Akiva didn't react is kushtika kaido, because he's certainly agreeing. But Rabbi Akiva said, I didn't not react because I agree. I didn't react because I thought it was foolish and didn't deserve a reaction. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Saris Amur B'Para Uvenagoyim. The Torah Kedosh says, the Aloch is a Para Duma can't have two black hairs because then it becomes disqualified. Uvenagoyim. Or the halach is that if a nega develops two white hairs, it becomes considered a nega. V'amur is b'chal makay. K'day lokov roi, and makay means what we've been discussing, a boy and a girl to become adults. K'day lokov roi shon l'ikron, to turn them upside down. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Elazar, k'day likris b'tzipayrin, enough that you could feel it when you scratch it with your nail. Large enough that they should be cut with a scissor. So Rashi learns that licorice b'tzipayrin is the smallest amount. Then you have lock of roish of licorin is the second amount, and the tila zug is the longest amount. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam holds that lock of roish of licorin is the largest amount. Then licorice b'tzipayrin is the second, and the tilas zug is the smallest. Amar of chizda, amar mar okva, halach kediri kulon hachmar. Whenever it creates a chumrah, we go with the shear. So far as mian is concerned, that we've been learning, as soon as a girl has shtei saris, she no longer can do mian, we take the smallest amount. As far as chalitza is concerned, that we learned that a girl, on Amar Aleph, we learned that a girl can't do chalitza until she's a gedayla, we take the longest amount to allow it to do chalitza. Of course, we've mentioned previously, Ida Gemara says that somebody who accepts all chumras, the Gemara calls him a fool, v'ksil b'chay shechaylich. So all the Rishonim answer, when is that said? When we know the halacha. And you know the halacha is one way, and now you start picking chumras. But here, the reason the chumras are being taken, because we don't know who to follow. There's another question which we don't have time to focus on. We could understand why the Mishnah would mention the longest shear and the shortest shear. Because as we just explained, they each represent the chumrah. But what's the point of saying a middle shear? What does that represent? There are a lot of answers in the Achrayinim. They work around the concept, if she was makabel kedushin from a man, or she was makabel kedushin at a point when she had the middle shear, and then she got kedushin from another man, or the man only had the middle shear, would the Kedushin be a valid Kedushin that she can't accept Kedushin? Is she not a Neshesesh? Is she yes a Neshesesh? There are a lot of scenarios that I could paint if I had the time. Says the Mishnah. We've learned. The halacha is that if a woman has a kesem, a stain, that comes without a hargasha, so if it's smaller than the size of a gris, the Paiskim say, is anywhere between the size of a dime or a penny, we don't consider her tamei. Why? Because midraisa, she's not tamei, because she didn't have hargasha. And if it's such a small spot, we assume it came from an outside source. Says the Mishnah, haroi kesa, if a woman sees a kesem, hareza mekukeles, v'cheshem shumzov devarimeya. Actually, this is a Gemara. Again, we don't have time to review all the details. In Masechta Erchin, we learned the Gemara, pretty complicated Gemara on Daf Ches. We know that a woman's life is a cycle of 7 and 11 days, we mentioned many times. During the 7 days, she's a nida, and midaraisa, even if she saw dam all 7 days, as long as she stops by the end of the 7th day, she goes to the mikvah, and then she begins 11 days that she becomes a zava. 1 day or 2 days of the 11 days, she's a zava ktana, she's roi yoyim keneged yoyim. At 3 consecutive days, she's a zava gedoyl, and she needs zayin nekiyim. Now, this woman saw a kesem. So I don't know what that means. Did she become a nida? Did she become a zava? Did she become a zava gedoyla? And therefore, we really don't know how to treat her. And as we learned in the Gemara, in Masechta Erechin, the beginning of Ches, she has to really have quite a number of days of no riyah to know that she could reestablish her 7-11 cycle without us having all sorts of considerations. We don't have to worry. Begins the Gemara. Man Chachamim. Who is the opinion of the Chachamim mentioned in our Mishnah? Rav Chanina ben Tignes. He represents the opinion of Rav Chanina ben Tignes. The Tanya, Rav Chanina ben Tignes Omer, Ksimim ein ba mishum zov, Ksamim don't have zov, Upamim, however, sometimes, Shaksamim mevel de ziva. But sometimes even he agrees that it would. When? Ketzad. Lov shek gimel chalukas habedukas lo. If a woman wore 3 clean garments, Amar salein kesem, and then she finds, that means 3 consecutive days, she wore 3 clean garments, and every day she found a kesem on it. Oy, shirasa beiz yomim. 2 days she had a full-fledged riya, v'chaluk and echot, and then on the 3rd day, she again has a kesem, and they're in total the size of 3 grisim. Heinen ksamim, there will be agreement that since she has these ksamim, she will be considered a zava. If they were in the days of Ziva. Ask the Gemara. Hashta. I don't understand, ask the Gemara. Hashta shloshe chalukas. If she wore 3 garments that were clean, but on every garment she found the kesem, and she put on the garment every separate day, says Rav Chanina, that we don't know for sure, the lami guf kuchazia, because as we explained, she didn't have argosha. Still chashinan. The Rabbanan, Rav Chanina ben Tignes agrees that she is considered a zava. So certainly in a case of Beis Yomim, where 2 days she had a full-fledged Riya, and then the 3rd day, it was a Chaluk Echad, Mibayi, that she should be treated like a Zava, answers the Gemara, Madatema, we know that Halacha is, that after a woman is a Zava Gedoyla, and she has Zayin Nekim, she has to bring 2 Kabbanas, 2 bird Kabbanas, a Chattas and Oila. So maybe in the case where there were 2 days of a full-fledged Riya, and only on the 3rd day there was a Kesem, we would consider her so much of a zava that not only does she bring a carbon, maybe kabbalah v'nechal, kamash malon, that we don't have to be so worried. So the big machlokes for Shoinim, how to understand this Gemara. Rashi understands this Gemara, that she brings the carbon, but it can't be eaten, the carbon chattis, because it may be a nevela. And a nevela can't be eaten because malika is done, and only if you're obligated in the carbon is malika not make the bird into a nevela. Other Rishonim say that you don't bring the carbon at all, because if you're not obligated to bring the carbon, it's a question of chulin bazara, and we don't know for sure she's a zava, so you should bring, that seems to be the Rambam's opinion, don't bring the carbon, Ramban's opinion, don't bring the carbon at all. Why is Rashi not concerned with the issue of chulin bazara, which even applied to the oila, not only to the chatas? So the Rishonim, we've said this pshat, the Rishonim say because Rashi says the issue of chulin bazara is only by behema, not by your oif. So that's why Rashi isn't concerned bringing it. He's only concerned about eating it because it may be an avail.
Amar Rav, comments Rav. But how's the chinner of chinner when it thinks the rabbanon? The chinner when it thinks we're all able to prevail over the rabbanon. Mashna, he said to them, pachs megimel grisim v'makom echad, that if there's less than three grisim in one spot, the loy chashinen, da'aminim, because if there's less than three grisim, we'll say v'trei yom chazitei. It only represents 2 days, because each you have to have a gris for every kesem. So even shloisha grisim v'makom echad, neima tarti, that she only saw two ksamim that were gris large, upalga, and the third gris was only a half, the third kesem was only a half a gris, palga meguf chazita, v'idach, ah, you see that she has three grisim, agav, zuma damachalasu. Blood brings, attracts lice, and that's why it's a gris, but we can't attribute it to a kesem. Rabbanan say, kim d'ikka leflugi begris, since there's three grisim, v'oid l'kol yoyma, and we could say that each one of these grisim came in 3 separate days, because she didn't examine her garments for 3 days, loitin linen. We don't say that. Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas, even Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas says the Gemara, who is lenient, only gimel grisim b'makom echad, all these three, if the kesem is the size of three grisim, but they're all in one spot, that's when he says, even though you have three a kesem the size of three grisim, we're not concerned. Habagimel b'kaimus, even Rabbi Chanina ben Tignas will agree that if the three ksamim that are three grisim large on 3 different spots, chashinim. Ask the Gemara, but that isn't what he said. Ha'amrit, didn't he say only if they're in gimel chalukas on 3 different garments? But it seems that Chanina ben Tignas will hold the gimel, the kaimus, if they're on 1 garment, even though they're 3 grisim, we'll say that they don't represent 3 ksamim, and perhaps from 3 days, because we'll say that there were only 2.5, and the last half came from the extra attraction. Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand Chanina ben Tignas. He's addressing the Rabbanan. Liddy, I am only concerned begimel chalukasin if she wore 3 different garments with 3 separate ksamim. Begimel mekaimus, but if the 3 ksamim, 3 grisim are in 3 different spots on 1 garment, loy, that I'm not concerned. Ela d'chu, but he says to the Rabbanan, elderly mias, at least agree to me, the heich the chazoy gimel grisim makam echad, that if the 3 grisim on 1 spot, that meaning that there you should agree that we should say that all there really was here, trei upalga megufa chazitai, she only saw 2.5 for a body, vidach, and the last half gris, agav zuma dam mechaylusu, and therefore even you should agree that she should not be considered a zava. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say no. Kim dachik leflugi begris, if there are 3 grisim, and we could say that they happened over 3 separate days because she didn't check her garments for these 3 days. Like Talinan, we consider her a zava.